Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good, Rick. How are you?
We're good. We're still doing a little challenge here of our, we're getting used to all this. We were telling everybody that we're pretty much functioning as normal. And but just this morning, we were just trying to do a Skype call with you through our, Skype business. But for whatever reason, trying to put in the passcode was a challenge. So we called you on ourselves. I see, though, that you wanted to do a Zoom call. Now, we can't do that through UBS.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, this is fine. I mean, I've just been doing it kind of as an experiment to see. And we had some problems with this particular free conference calling. It just got overwhelmed right in the beginning. And so we kept getting they said we had overstayed our welcome, so we couldn't use it. So we went to Zoom. Okay, now it seems fine. There's no backup. Yeah, I just think it was overwhelmed by usage.
Yeah.
When we went to no in-person meetings.
Yeah. Well, that's the only, we're adapting to that. And we've been doing what's called Skype for Business calls through our, through our computers. And it's worked pretty well. And now I think we just want to talk today to you about, the visual. Like you don't assume, I have not personally done the Skype video calls yet. Dave and his group over there have done a couple, they're starting to do more, and he said it's becoming effective. And I'm just curious of, what's your experience so far with seeing, how everybody's communicating?
Well, I think it's important. I think what's happened is we've taken 2 years of technological advancement and jammed it into 2 months.
Yeah.
And I think what we're experiencing now is what will be normal in 2 years, or actually it was normal, becoming more normal now.
Right.
You see all the internet companies some of them were struggling, almost not doing well, almost failing. And now they're just exploding because of, that free, I think it's called free stamp, something like freestamps.com or something like that. Stamps.com.
Right.
Nobody was using them. It was, they were really struggling. Now they've just exploded. Picking up millions of new users, and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So, this is a company like Zoom was doing okay.
Right.
Nobody was really using them, and all of a sudden, explosion, right?
Yeah. Right place, right time. It just,
right. So there's a whole economy now of right place, right time explosion that, will be the new economy. It will be the new norm, because even when we go back to the old economy, the leverage that the new economy brings is not going to go away.
Right.
People are not once they've used DocuSign, they're not going to want to go and use paper signatures.
Yeah.
It's just annoying,
Yeah. So what we've been pretty much saying, so Dave and I, and Margaret, we're pretty much, it's business as usual. Even though we're in three different locations, our process is the same. We're right in the mode of, scheduled calls, doing all the stuff we normally do, except you're right, we're doing more of the DocuSign stuff. We are doing these calls, but we're doing the audio calls. And now But it's surprising, again, I mean, we always complain about our technology, even at UBS, we've been behind, but they've stepped up. We've been able to, business as usual, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing when you think about it. All of a sudden, you take several hundreds of thousands of people and throw them into out of their offices and into their homes and say, do business as usual. And all the major firms are just operating. You know, it's just like
right.
We're doing investment banking deals with Zoom online. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
They did a $700 million deal the other day and never left their houses.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a crazy, crazy
it's
deal.
Crazy.
But I think what it's telling people is that you don't have to run all over the place to do business. You know, we've been in that mode for a long, long time. And, you know, we need to go see everybody. Well, you know, when you use Zoom or you know, WebEx or use something, some visual contact system, it's okay. It's not as good as being there, but you know what? It's much more productive.
Absolutely. But what we were talking now, obviously all of our current clients, it's a very, it's easy. They don't care. I mean, like one client said, you know, he goes, we know what you look like. We don't care. You know, we're fine just talking on the phone. They're comfortable. But what Dave and I were talking, because we have a new client, a large client, and but it's that face-to-face that I think makes a difference with new people. And so we're going to try to do a video Skype with this client and their family. It's an elderly couple, and we want to get their other kids involved. And so we're going to try to set up the video call. I mean, that's the one piece that's missing, I think, with new people that, you know, you get a chance to see face-to-face, look them in the eye. They get to see you on a more personal basis than just, you know, hearing your voice on the phone. That's where we think we have to, you know, if this continues, we're going to have to, I think, kick up the video for new introductions, new relationships, things like that. Because that's just our first impression.
All right, so here's what I would suggest if you're looking for suggestions. One would be to do it, yes, but don't try and do too much in one call. You're sort of like, okay, we want them to be there, we want their kids to be there, we want to cover all these financial planning things, we want to do, no. Break it into little pieces and do four of them instead, okay?
Well, here's the situation. It's an elderly client. They're, you know, they just brought over like close to $10 million.
Yeah.
It's pretty much all munis, and you know, he's for his career, he invested in, you know, Pennsylvania tax-free bonds. And so at this point, though, he's getting a little, you know, and so we want to. There's been about $1.5 million since we brought it over has matured. I mean, bonds have matured and things like that. And from a brokerage standpoint, you know, we'd have to call them, say, here's a couple bonds. Here's what we want to buy. And they're getting, or the principal, you know, client is older. He's not, you know, great health. So we want to talk to him about, you know, doing a discretionary advisory for that portion of the money as the bonds roll off. So we don't have to be calling them and just to be able to do something. So we're going to try to explain that, concept to solve that issue for them at this point.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, look, you need to do some, I guarantee you they haven't done all the estate planning they need to do, right?
They've done some. I actually talked to their estate attorney, who I happen to know through Tennis, believe it or not. So we've had some contact with them, and there's things that they need to do. Let's put it that way.
Right. How old is the guy?
He's like 90, and his wife is 88. She's in good health. He's starting to get, you know, a little So I told Dave, we got to be careful. We got to, you know, we wanted to always do the right thing, but we got to be careful with, because I'm not sure he, you know, he doesn't have capability of, you know, just like saying, yeah, let's call him and, you know, buy bonds and, approve it. So I think his family's concerned about that too. So, I mean, our solution is to set up an advisory relationship, you know, them setting the parameters for what we want to buy, and then we go ahead and do this on a, you know, for a minimal fee.
Right. So how did you get the account?
This is one of the guys I've known for probably 20 years. I think we might have talked about him. He had a good relationship with his advisor for a long time, but I've known him through community stuff and things like that. And, you know, so I got to know them personally, the family, but they had a good relationship. So last year he approached us actually and said, you know, my advisor's retiring. They have a young person, you know, following up that I don't have a relationship with. We feel more trusted if, you know, can we do something with you? So we went through that process. We met with the family, and yes, they wanted to consolidate because, you know, we have a trusted relationship and it would make it easier for the family. So we're just trying to continue that, you know, making it easier for the family type stuff.
How many kids and how old are they?
They're
going to be kids.
They're 60s, probably close to 60.
Yeah, they're in their 60s, probably.
Which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. The kids.
And you got what?
One is not married. One has, you know, a couple of children, and actually, one of their children has a child. So Roger and his wife have one great grandchild.
So they need, now do you have relationships with the kids, or are the kids just not well off?
I have a relationship with one of them. The other one we just, you know, basically met.
Okay. Well, you clearly have to have their buy-in, right?
Exactly, yeah. And I think we do. And so I think they're just looking for a little direction how they can get through this. And that's why we come up with, you know, all the bonds we have. You know, we've already done some screens. They're good bonds. We're going to hold them until they mature because they're sort of in a laddered portfolio. And then as they come off, we're going to, you know, roll them into an advisory managed municipal bond account that we're going to do at, like, you know, 25 basis points, 30 basis points, something like that. Because we found out their last broker was charging them like 1.75% all in, you know, I mean, to transact a bond. And they thought they were getting it for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the usual 3 points, right?
Yeah. So, anyway, but
well, you can make a pretty good case that BlackRock or whoever you choose can get better bonds at better prices and more bonds than you'll ever see.
Right.
And that would be the case that I would make. I can buy you bonds, but and I'll do a good job, but they'll do a better job because today it's access. You know, the bonds are gone before you ever get to see them.
Right.
I mean, there's such a shortage of bonds right now. I mean, maybe they're going to issue a million because of the economy, but
yeah. So I do think, but we're going to try. I mean, I think the real thing we're trying to get to do a face-to-face with them on this one, because we met face-to-face right before all this happened. We did all the transfers. When was it? The end of January, February timeframe, probably.
Yep.
Where Dave and I actually took Margaret over too. We met the whole, you know, we went through the whole thing, how we're going to help them, and you know, we already have the money going into their bank account and. Everything's taken care of. It's just this is the next step, basically. And we don't want to wait until the pandemic is over that we can start seeing each other again.
Yeah. So you're going to go see him and do the social distancing thing and all that, right?
No. We're going to try to do it with the Skype.
With Skype?
So we're going to try. We're going to test it out before we do it, and then we're going to, you know, talk to them.
It worked great. I love it. You know, we use WebEx and we use Skype. I mean, we use Zoom. I mean, they're terrific. I can show things up on the screen, and I mean, it's pretty cool if you practice with it a little bit.
The only limitation we have, Rob, is that our approved platform is Skype for Business. The problem is with UBS, we don't have the bandwidth yet on a national level to have what you would refer to on Zoom or some of the others as gallery view, where you can see everyone's face that's a part of the conversation or a part of the meeting all at once. So the limitation, which I think is a struggle, because when you talk, you don't see the person you're talking to, in this case, the client. So you don't get to see their body language, their, you know, what they're doing or saying or how they're responding, you know, from a, you know, nonverbal perspective. So that's a little bit limiting in terms of the interaction. But, you know, when they talk, their face pops up. You see them, right, and vice versa. When you talk, your face pops up on their screen. So it's better than a normal phone call, but it's not as good as, let's just say, a Zoom would be, where when someone talks, you can see everyone's picture all at once and kind of gauge their reactions.
Yeah, really important.
Right. Yeah, so, and then hopefully they're going to, I think they're working on it. They're going to see if it's a possibility to add that gallery view, because it's been everyone's biggest complaint through Skype for Business. And again, I think we can all agree this is certainly here to stay, whether at the same level or at some level where people are going to want to do more virtual meetings in general. So hopefully they can add that capability. But in the meantime, we have to kind of deal with that limitation as of now.
The length of the meeting is pretty much 30 to 40 minutes is about max.
Yeah.
Okay. You just start to lose them after that.
Right.
So that's why I mentioned multiple meetings rather than trying to get it all, everything done in one meeting with a 90-year-old. I mean, you're going to.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to fall asleep on the other end, you know?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, that's the challenge, though. I mean, he's becoming, and it's only in the last 6 months, though. This guy, up until 6-8 months ago, vibrant as anything. I mean, he literally was traveling the country still doing, you know, artwork shows and stuff like that. And, you know, in the last 6 to 8, 9 months, he's really taken a sort of a downturn. And so that's why we want to be careful with everything, you know, because you're dealing with an elderly person, you know, who does, you know, start to lose some of his capabilities.
Yep.
So, anyway.
I would shore up the relationships with the kids.
Yeah.
Make sure you have an account for them, you know, do some financial planning for them.
Yeah.
So you got to own them, because, you know, one of them happy and the other one not happy, then you got problems. And, you know, mom is, then, you know, they get power of attorney and then you're screwed. So,
we're pretty good, you know, so far, you know, it's been a good, and I think one of the daughters was instrumental in also, you know, she's been almost the point person of gathering the family together and making sure, and she transferred her assets over to us too. So, you know, it's anyway. So it's good. And observation that we've had is that, you know, we can do this. We don't have to be in our office to get this stuff done. And you know, I'm even, you know, because I used to have this thing where on, you know, long weekends I'd head down the beach and. You know, but I can actually, you know, and I was never that good with working. I mean, like Dave's technology, he can deal with all this tech. I was always hesitant to do stuff remotely, but now I can do it. So I might be spending more time working from the beach this summer.
I think it's, not, I mean, look, Rick, it's smart. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I think you're going to find a lot more people are going to decide that spending 2 hours and a half every day commuting makes no sense productivity-wise. We'll see. I think from a prospecting point of view, it's really hard. But from a client service, productivity, getting things done regarding your business, it's pretty terrific. So,
the other thing we're not going to be doing currently is going to be like, you know, I had my tennis event set up for June the 5th. That's going to be off. We're not going to be able to proceed with that, but we can at least move that back. The other sponsorship that we did of this tennis tournament at the women's pro tournament was the same weekend. That's been canceled. We're still going to see about our boys from Boston because theirs is scheduled for September. If theirs is on, we're going to go up to that. But we'll see. Everything's up in the air. Everything's, you know, none of us know when we're going to be able to turn things on. So right. That's the only missing piece is some of the events that we do. That's obviously on hold.
Yeah.
And they were huge. they worked well for you know, goodwill, even actually getting clients from it too.
Well, keep in mind that people want to talk and they enjoy the Skype, however you do it. They enjoy it. And so one of the things you want to do is make sure you're reaching out to your centers of influence who have time. I mean, they're busy, but they have time to take 20 minutes and get caught up. If there's any time been for a mastermind group, this is it. Because, you know, people struggle with getting enough time to have dinner together or lunch or take a morning and do a mastermind group session together. But doing it on Skype or Zoom or something is great. People love it.
Yeah.
I've created a couple myself. It's kind of a stock club, but not, you know, it's a stock group of guys that were just interested in stocks. But it worked so much better than us having to get together for breakfast and talk about it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you got your stuff right there. You can look at your ideas. We have them present a good idea and then a short idea, you know. And then we build a portfolio that we share with each other and just kind of, it's been really fun. And people are really interested in joining it. And it's like, wow.
Isn't that interesting? I think, Rob, what you're saying, though, it's much easier to get, you know, instead of spending a lot of time. We actually had the other situation where Dave has young kids, you know, and at this age they're having all these birthday parties. So, Dave, tell about that one, how you, like, normally would have been, you would have spent the whole freaking afternoon.
We're doing Zoom birthday party. My wife actually took my kids to, they called it a birthday parade. So, yesterday, my wife packed the kids in the car, and they made little signs, and for one of my daughter's little, you know, five-year-old friends in her school, all the people in the school and all the kids' friends, they did, like, a little, you know, circle, drive around, and the kids, they pop their heads out the windows and out of the sunroof with little signs saying happy birthday to the little boy. We did a Zoom birthday the other day with people all over the country. Everyone logged on to a Zoom meeting and, you know, for a little one-year-old's birthday, and, you know, took 15 minutes, and, you know, the parents thanked everyone for coming on and blah, 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 and the little girl, you know, ate her little cupcake, and, you know, and 15 minutes later, I logged off. I said, oh, it was the greatest one-year-old birthday party I've ever been to. You know,
no,
I didn't have to drive. I didn't have to sit through. And it's like, you know, it still is. And Rick and I are both this, you know, and Rob, I'm sure you are as well, where, you know, I do miss. So you know, the interpersonal, you know, the interactions and being around people and talking to people. And, you know, it's a, you know, the virtual stuff is a substitute, but it's still not the same and it doesn't have the same feel to it. But for some things, you're just like, wow, that makes me more productive. It's more convenient. I didn't have to spend 2 hours driving back and forth to this birthday party and 2 hours of, you know, nonsensical BSing with people. But, you know, you do miss that part.
Yeah, no question. They did a birthday party for Marcia by golf cart parade. They dressed up their golf carts and did a birthday party for her.
So, yeah,
and then
great.
We all sat around in a big circle and toasted Marcia, and it was awesome.
So
you know,
it's stuff.
They're memorable. They're definitely memorable. You know, it's different.
Yeah.
These birthdays are special occasions where you're doing different things and you're doing what you can do and whatever works best. It'll be something you'll remember. So I think it's that's the one thing you got to take out of it. Glass half full.
Right.
Rob, I mean, just thinking. So the other day I listened to, we actually had a call, you know, there's so many, everybody's doing calls, like every, you know, every company, but this is what I listened to. This is actually our I don't know if you know Jason Chandler who from UBS, but, I didn't even know his role, but he's been there forever. He's like the chairman. I don't even know. He's president of Americas or something like that. But he was on, and also with the chairman of the American Funds, you know, the capital group, the American Funds. And this guy's been the CEO for like 30 years. And, you know, the American Funds, I like their style. I mean, because, you know, they're a private company. They've been around 87 years, but they have very – you know, they're very competitive on their low fees and outperformance on active management. So they've done an extremely good job. And they don't go, you know, nobody can go direct to them. They're going to work through advisors. But they were just talking about the future of what's happening and how this is all playing out. And I guess, you know, from UBS's point of view, and I think it's the right one. I mean, we're seeing now people will need more advice is now becoming, you know, there is going to be a premium on advice, but at the same time, we need technology to fill that gap, you know, for the needs of people and things like that. So I like that. And from the American Funds point of view, is they're saying the same thing, and they're finding out that they can be, they said they're 40% more productive during these times with their analysts and everybody else not doing those, you know, trips all the time, and they're not losing much. But it looks like the technology, and both of them said the same thing, the technology is going to, it's just going to explode on how we are going to use technology to help clients, but not only managing their assets, but, you know, communicating and everything else like that. So I think we're in a good position, Rob, for the advice part, because everyone's going to be looking for it now after this shift. That we've gotten our clients through it. So now it's a matter of, you know, taking to the next step. And, you know, because there's been people, I think you mentioned the last time, that, you know, a lot of advisors probably did not contact their clients and get them through this stuff.
Well, I don't think – I think that there's been a – I mean, I think there's a huge gap between the best and the average. The average is in the middle of – the average is in a lot of chaos right now.
Mm.
And the best are really organized and doing their 12-4-2s and really haven't missed a beat.
Right.
And they're actually prospecting. The worst are – you know, the worst are in complete chaos.
Mm-hmm.
They're not calling their clients, and they're not organized, and they are kind of in trouble. But my clients typically, I've been disappointed by some. You know, they cancel my calls. They're just a mess.
Really?
Yeah, I know. You think, but the guys like you, you're interested, you know, you want to, what are other people doing? You know, what's going on? So what I've been encouraging guys to do is to call your centers of influence and do this. You know, just how's it going? What's happening? You know, how's this affecting your practice? Are you able to be more productive, less productive? What are clients thinking? And just share, you know, as you would normally share with friends.
Yeah.
And then take your, you know, if there's any time when people are willing to start a mastermind group, it's now.
Hmm.
So look at your professional mastermind groups, CPA, attorney, lawyer, et cetera. Pull them together and do a Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, you can, you know, and if it's, I don't know how you guys can get around it, but Zoom is dramatically
better. Well, we could do
Zoom. Yeah, that's
private. I know, we just,
yeah, no, it's, I was going to say, it's, yeah, it's completely kosher, right? I mean, it's more for, they don't want, they being the firm, doesn't want us meeting with clients and going through, you know, accounts and those types of things through Zoom. But in terms of, you know, prospecting and, you know, meeting with attorneys and CPAs, that's perfectly fine. I mean, they just don't want, you know, us sharing account numbers and personal financial information through Zoom purely from a security perspective.
Yeah.
Got it. Smart. Yeah. Okay.
So today, actually, you know, I've been involved in our Rotary Club, and Rotary is a community, you know, it's a service club. And so we converted. So this afternoon, at noon, we're doing a Zoom meeting. So it actually opens up for that because you could really, as they said, you see everybody. And it's been good. And I've done a lot. I mean, the kids are my kids, like Dave's age, but my daughter is a little bit younger than Dave. And they have a great network of friends from college that's all they do on weekends. You know, they have these Zoom, you know, get-togethers where they're all having, you know, they get together with, you know, everybody, and they have cocktails and they just catch up.
Right.
These kids are, I would say, now, Dave, do you do that? I guess with your kids it's hard, but I guess.
Yeah, no, my kids have, you know, my kids have Zoom class right now, and they do all the parents set up, like, again, for, like, the birthday parties and those types of things. My daughter had a Zoom dance recital last Friday where everyone got on Zoom, and my daughter was all dressed up in our living room, and everyone could see everyone, and all the parents were cheering in the background and applauding. And, yeah, I mean, you got to remember, I mean, I guess maybe it is my generation, you know, we're very comfortable with technology, and our kids are very resilient, and kids adapt, and, you know, we've kind of, everyone is forced to adapt, but I think especially the younger you are on that spectrum, the easier it is to adapt. And you know, my daughter, who's 5, has adapted. My 3-year-old son does his little Zoom preschool things, and he is adapted to it. And, you know, just like we've all adapted to our work and our communicating with, you know, friends and family.
Yeah, it's been amazing. My granddaughter is reading the best she's ever read. I mean, she's in kindergarten and reading me books on, you know, we do Alexa, a show, which is kind of like Zoom, but it's just, you know, you just say call. She goes, call Mimi and Bobo. I want to read to them. So she calls me. And then while mom's getting dinner ready, she reads to us. And then she goes, okay, I read you a book. Now you have to read me a book.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's great, Bob.
Yeah, it's really fun. We've been doing that for years now. I've been reading to her on that, and it's been wonderful because we don't feel like we're disconnected. I mean, I can't physically see her, but I, in the sense of being next to her, but I can see her growing up and, you know, missing her a lot, but still being in touch. And
yeah.
You know, we read interesting things. I read her Greek mythology and King Arthur and there's some
great
great adaptions for kids that are terrific.
Well, as Dave said, I mean, you can see the younger kids are very they'll adapt to everything very quickly, and it's, you know, it's older. It takes a little more, but I think, you know, we have to stay current. And I think that's why I think it's great, you know, having Dave around, because, you know, he moves the needle much quicker than I would be doing it on my own. So, but look, we're going to get through this. I mean, this is still, I believe, you know, it's a temporary, whether it's going to be 6 months, 9 months, who the hell knows. But, you know, we take it, you know, one day at a time. We're one day closer to this getting over. And the other thing, Rob, I mean, I know you talked about it a lot of time, and I think you always preach this, even in good times, is having routines. And, you know, and Dave has his own way. I have my own way. But, I mean, the whole thing, I'm in a routine now where I'm working from a basement. As soon as, like, but when the markets are closed, I'm out. I either go, we still have a gym that's open and in my building where either go to the gym. I found a wall where I go hit against the wall for like an hour, which, what a great workout. Walking, biking. So I get my exercise in every day right after, at the end of the day. And then I have, good routines. And, you know, the health is the, you know, keeping ourselves healthy and active and engaged is the key. I mean, you've always had that with is that guy James Lohr, is he still active with his practice?
Jim Lohr? No, he's retired.
I thought so,
he's retired. Yeah, yeah. I called him because I was going to be in Orlando for something, and he's moved to Naples. And he invited me to come and play golf with him and whatever. I need to take him up on that before we both get too old to do this stuff. Anyway,
His work is really good. I've really enjoyed, you know, reading about all that stuff and all the people, but. You know, even today, it's more important than ever for all that stuff. You know, whoever's going to be the most engaged is going to make it out of this the best. You know, healthy with, you know, as you said, a corporate athlete. So this is more important now, because if you're sitting home, if you're just, you know, being a bum, you're not going to be able to turn it on.
No, it's a good test, you know, instead of, I mean, this is the time to get in the best shape of your life. I mean, you have no excuse right now. I mean, there's literally none. You've just saved 2 hours commuting. So what the hell are you going to do with it? You can do a lot of things with it. But the worst thing is to just waste it.
Right.
Bring me up to date on Sam and the that your niche.
You sent me an email, and I didn't want to respond because, you know, if UBS is snooping at this, I don't want to be looking at it. So his fix, actually, is it, I saw today somebody updated it.
It's at 14 bucks,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, I saw what, I mean, it looked like, the best I could figure out, there was a big institutional seller that sold half their position, and that was the pressure on the stock. It was just constant. But it didn't go down much, Rick. I mean, once they got it down to like 12 and change, they weren't able to get it any lower. And there were short sellers in there. I know there's short sellers in there talking it down.
Right.
And you'd think nobody would give a damn about a little stock like that, but it seems to have gotten enough attention that there's some action, but once that seller was gone, there's just been gradual, very, doesn't matter what the market does, very gradual accumulation.
Yeah.
Which I was actually very excited about, because, you know, I kept my position.
Sure. And well, just the only thing I can tell you is that Sam has kept his position too. So, yeah, we've been gradually, doing, you know, liquidating at different levels, much higher than this, and he's been very disciplined about it, you know, but he does believe in the long-term nature of this company, and he's going to maintain an ultimate position on this. So we've been working with him closely on that. But, you know, he responded to that. He just said BS. So you know, that's short. But, you know, again, I think the challenge for a lot of people, companies, is that, you know, trials are being delayed, they're being pushed back, you know, because, you know, everything's like, there's a gap. So they're in trial on the one piece now, but I just saw today, looks like RBC is upgraded the stock with a $30 price target. Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
But
it's
no,
a good,
so we,
you know, at 13 and change, it's probably a good speculation. I might grab some more.
Yeah.
You know me. I love the action.
But so you know, we had have discussions with Sam. Now, just along your lines, we'll finish up with this one. But you know, Dave actually found this article a couple weeks ago. Where was that, Dave? Wall Street Journal?
Which article?
For Sam about this, basically his mastermind group.
Oh yeah, it was like a week ago.
So
in the journal.
It was in the journal. They caught this article, and it was about all the different biotech CEOs in the Boston area. And I guess the gist of it was they meet on a weekly basis through a Zoom type call, and they discuss common. Their ideas of what's going on in their industry and how they're addressing them. So we sent it to Sam, and he goes, "Oh yeah, I'm part of that group."
Oh, you're kidding?
No. So he said they have all the biotech CEOs up in Boston, which is the ground center. They meet on a weekly basis and they discuss. So they were actually even discussing about the PPP, if they should, who should be taking it, who shouldn't be taking it. They discussed, they would discuss all the different comments. I thought it was pretty cool. But Sam is right in the middle of that. So he is a part of that. He said it's an amazing group, and they get a lot of, and it's funny because, with this PPP stuff, Sam said, nope, they chose not to go after it because he said from a moral standpoint, they don't want to do it. I said, Sam, I give you credit because everyone's looking for money. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I didn't do it either. I figure. Somebody needs it more than I do.
Well, I think that's what's happening now. So, anyway, so look, we'll make it, Bob, day by day, one day at a time. I keep saying we're one day closer to this mess, but I think. And I guess thanks to, the process that we've developed over the years through, working with Supernova, it's kept us in the game, on top of our game, still doing it. And we're, we're doing business. We're doing business as usual. And, we're fully engaged with our clients because of this. And, I think that makes a huge difference right now. So we'll see. And I told Dave, it'll pay off in the next few years, hopefully, that, the things we're doing today.
Well, think about creating a mastermind group around the biotechnology group in Boston.
Yeah.
When you're virtual, you can do anything, right?
Yeah.
So who are just do some brainstorming. Here's what I'd like you to do between now and the next time we meet. I'd like you both to have separate, you can be on each other's, but separate mastermind groups that are virtual, a Zoom mastermind group around an idea. Okay, it could be around the biotechnology group in Boston, all the people that serve them. They all use the same CPAs, attorneys, other people. What the hell? Reach out. If you have got, just start using some creative thinking. Maybe you do it around tennis. You get a tennis group together and say, we can't play tennis, because we're all locked up or we're in different cities. But let's have a tennis call. There's some great internet stuff on tennis. I keep getting these emails from this and just tips on how to improve your tennis game.
Is it Florian Meyer?
It's like tennis balls or fluffy balls.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. There's a couple of them. Some of them are very good at that. They're getting stuff out. And I actually told my pros at Sea Colony, I said, get on, and they're doing some online stuff too. But this other group that, man, they're getting stuff out all the time. And I actually, Rob, did one. I did a 10-day home, you know, challenge of serving and then return of serve. And it had, you know, things you could do in your home, you know, at home to you know. And it was actually good. So now I go to the wall and practice them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think these things are great. People want, I mean, look at my group on stocks, right? They want, and they all love the, you know, the technology stocks and all that stuff. So, I mean, get a group together that's interested in biotechnology stock, you know, that maybe some of these guys, and they want to talk about stock. Who knows? I don't know what the answer is, but your job is to figure it out. Okay. So each create a mastermind group, and it can be, make it a fun group if you want to, but
right.
they could all turn into clients, or they all are clients, or they can refer clients to you. But the idea is to leverage this time, because we'll never have this time again. Once this is over, as much as we all hate it, once it's over, the good parts of it will go away.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that is that you got everybody at home locked up where you know you can get to them. When have we ever had that? Where you know you call somebody and they're going to be there.
Yeah.
They're not traveling. They're not all over the world. They're not, I mean, these CEOs and other people, you can never get them at home.
Right.
And they have time. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So that'll, okay, we'll kick that around. We'll see if we can get something started.
Okay. Terrific.
Anyway. Well, that's good, Rob. So have a good month. You know, it's hard to believe we're in May already. And some of my tennis courts in down in Delaware are opening up gradually right now with distancing and all that. So I'm going to start getting down there next week.
Well, we're in Florida here. We're open for business. I mean, construction never stopped.
Wow.
Half the businesses, you know, the stores were all closed. The restaurants were all takeout. And now the restaurants are open inside, outside.
Really?
Tennis is back. Golf is back. Yeah, yeah. We're business as usual here.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize it was that open. Jesus. Well, we're still in that gradual process. So it's going to take over the next month or so. And but anyway. All right, well, have fun down there, Rob.
All right, Rob. Take care. Thanks for everything.
Okay, thanks, Dave. See you, Rick. Bye-bye.
See ya.